Would you kindly comment on the cultivation and use in one's Dhamma practice of one's creative gifts, such as music, art, dance, writing, and so on? It's always helpful to have a guideline and think that what the Buddha points to as a general principle for, you know, whether it's application of creative gifts or however one applies one's attention to practice, that for it to support that cultivation, wholesome dhammas should increase, unwholesome dhammas should decrease. It's a very simple principle. So that by using different talents that one has and abilities, if one is able to use it in a way that the wholesome increases, and that which is unskillful is able to decrease, then that's a really good thing. And there are certain aspects of pitfalls that one needs to be attentive to in terms of one's creative gifts, is the identification that one has with this is me, this is who I am, this is my special gift, and creating one's identity around that. And, you know, we create identities out of anything. So whether, some special talent that one has, or we are quite capable of creating a fixed identity around our utter hopelessness at something. So, it's not... It's that tendency to create identity that's the problem. And to be able to use the different arts in a way that helps to foster a sense of peacefulness, focus. I'm thinking of music, what person who comes to mind is Reverend Hung Shur, who some people might know. He's one of the early students of Master Shun Hua from the City of 10,000 Buddhas. And he was a very talented musician. And when he was ordaining, all of his music, his instruments, everything, gave them away. Or he was going to give them away. And Master Hua sort of said, well, you could use these. You could use that talent. He said, no, I'm just filled with defilement. I've got to get rid of this. And then Master Hua couldn't convince him otherwise. So when he recognized that he was going to give it all away, and his sort of comment was in English, and said, stupid. And then after about 25 years of being a monk, and then he picked up his guitar and started to both write and play music, but it was all focused around Dhamma. And one can make the case for the fact that that 25 years definitely shaped the application of that music and that gift. Having that distance really helped him to clarify how to use that. But certainly he's been able to write and play Dhamma music. It's really, really quite helpful. And now he's into puppets. He's got some great puppet skits, Dhamma puppets. That creativity can be used really skillfully. And certainly in Buddhist cultures, then the different arts are used. Let's say the northeast of Thailand, where the forest tradition grew up and has flourished, one of the things that's a part of the culture is a type of Dhamma folk music. Malam is what it is. Usually the really good ones have at least a degree in Pali. And Ajahn Mun was actually before he ordained, was he was a really accomplished Mualam singer. So that was why sometimes his in teaching, he could really captivate an audience, because his command over that, he'd practiced and trained as a singer for so long that he was able to apply that to teaching, a skillful use of language. So it goes both ways. I think the pitfalls go around the identification, the worry and fear around wanting praise, fearing criticism, needing to be noticed. Because one doesn't need to have a particular talent for that, but but it does sometimes complicate things.